This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The latest development in the use of National Guard troops in American cities. ABC's Jim Ryan with more on what's happening in Portland and Chicago.
A federal judge overnight temporarily blocked the deployment of any National Guard units to Oregon. Now the Trump administration is considering sending 400 troops from Texas to Illinois to stand watch over immigration and customs enforcement activities. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker calls it, quote, Trump's invasion. Texas Governor Greg Abbott says he supports the move.
ABC's Jim Ryan in Dallas. Israel and Hamas leaders are officially meeting in Egypt today, hoping to hammer out a potential ceasefire in Gaza. The discussions come on the eve of the devastating war's second anniversary on October 7th. Government shutdown now in its sixth day. Asked on Sunday when he might start firing federal workers who are currently furloughed, President Trump said it's taking place right now and it's all because of the Democrats. Nobel Prize in Medicine handed out this morning. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The Richland Hospital and Clinics recently received recognition as a Checkpoint top performer from the Wisconsin Hospital Association. Checkpoint is Wisconsin's voluntary hospital quality reporting program, featuring over 45 publicly available measures that reflect performance and safety, quality, and patient outcomes. All acute care and critical access hospitals across the state participate, reporting on metrics that matter most to their communities. These reports are designed to support ongoing quality improvement efforts and to promote transparency for patients and providers. Earning top performer status means TRHC ranks in the top 10% statewide in the following categories: birth, infections, patient experience, patient safety for all patients, patient safety for patients with surgery, and perinatal. One of Wisconsin's largest convenience store chains will no longer take or offer pennies. Quick Trip announced Thursday that it is following guidance from the U.S. Department of Treasury, which is phasing out production of 1-cent coins. Instead, Quick Trip will simply be rounding down all its cash sales to the nearest 5 cents. Digital and card sales will remain unaffected. A proposed bill seeking to crack down on people falsely misrepresenting their pets as service animals was heard in a state assembly committee this week. The legislation would implement a $500 fine for providing false documentation to obtain a service animal. It could also fine healthcare providers who prescribe an emotional support animal to patients who have been in their care for less than 30 days. Critics of the legislation say enforcing the law would be especially challenging due to concerns over legal troubles with privacy. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Brewers and the Cubs tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from American Family Field, where it's game two of the National League Divisional Playoffs. The Brewers winning game one 9-3, but Jackson Churio had to leave with a hamstring injury. Pat Murphy on his status.
The MRI came back and it's inconclusive and it's not a serious hamstring strain.
The Brewers jumped out to a 6-1 lead in the first inning Saturday. Cubs manager Craig Counsell.
Look, the game got away from us early, so it's not like it did, right? It got away from us, so man, it's a loss and you move on from it quickly. There's no penalty, it's one loss, doesn't count for more how you lose. We didn't lose well, but we lost and you move on. That's how the clubhouse felt.
NBA, the Bucks are in Miami for a preseason game against the Heat. Giannis is now with the team after a bout with COVID.
He took a toll on my body. I'm not feeling 100% yet physically. Take it day by day, get back in shape.
That's Giannis Antetokounmpo with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Mostly cloudy and much cooler today with scattered showers from time to time. Maybe a rumble of thunder as well. A high of only 63. A lingering shower possible this evening. Otherwise, mostly cloudy and crisp with a low of 43. Sunny and pleasant on Tuesday. A high of 65. Currently, it's 59.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Heather Williams, she's president of the Democratic Legislative Campaign Committee.
We have our spotlight races. We share them on our website. You can head to dlcc.org. And they are excellent places for people who want to get involved and, frankly, who know that we are not going to win this election on vibes. Like, we have to get out and do the work. And we must communicate with our neighbors, with our community. We must show up for people. Not only do they deserve it, but they expect it.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'll be joined by the incomparable, the indefatigable Congresswoman Gwen Moore, talking all things shut down and who really bears the responsibility. Hint, it's Trump.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. News from the Center, WRCE.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Greitlow, powered by Up North News.
That's
now,
true.
From his daughter's guest room or office, I don't know, next to his grandson, the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Greitlow.
Nice. Just like we scripted it, just smooth as butter. Good morning. Welcome back. Nice to have you here on this Monday morning, October 6th. Yes, I'm down here in Dallas-Fort Worth, along with Selena Heller from Up North News up in Eau Claire. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here as well. Dr. Lyerly was going to do a Beyonce-worthy costume change as part of the show. And he was now in a Brewers jersey. Yes.
There we go.
Jersey ready to go. She was encouraged by producer Parker Olson, who is in a Brewers t-shirt, ready for game two of the National League Division Series tonight. That'll be a later game. Pre-game begins at 7:35 on some of the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network. First pitch a little after 8 o'clock tonight. And sleepy Patton Parker will tell you all about the game tomorrow morning, depending on how late they stay up.
As long as we wake up.
Yes. Let's see. Rob from Tigerton says, Pat, are you going to visit the South Fork Ranch where they filmed the TV show Dallas? Probably not. I did talk earlier about getting to a retro arcade yesterday with all kinds of video games from 40 years ago. It was so fun.
It sounds really cool.
Frogger? Did you do Frogger, Donkey Kong?
Frogger, Donkey Kong, Centipede, Galaga, you know, all the Pac-Mans. It was so fun.
Did you walk up and put your quarter on the screen to say goodbye?
No, you didn't have to. You paid at the door, and then everybody just paid, you know, whatever, you know, or you just played as much as you want. They've included the old style bubble hockey game, you know, with the big bubble over the top, and you're flipping and shooting the puck around. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that the 6-year-old grandson, who, you know, his dad works for a hockey team, and he's learning to skate. He's got his stick and all that, and he turns out to be a pretty good hockey player for the game too. So he knows what he's doing. Tigerton writes, Rob, it is cloudy and 55 with a few light rain showers. It was a relaxing weekend, enjoying the extended summer season. Took pictures of the fall colors and the leaves are coming down. And he says, I spent the weekend washing my hoodies and sweatshirts that I've had in the truck, which is my second closet. He also notes yesterday in the NFL, the only two undefeated teams lost. That would be the Philadelphia Eagles and the Buffalo Bills. So we don't have an issue with that anymore. Packers, of course, are on a bye, and they will be back in action next Sunday afternoon here. But Kristen, you already mentioned that with the Packers not playing and the gorgeous weekend, that you did way too much yard work that somebody would normally do in your frail condition. And Selena, what about you for the enjoyment of the weekend when you weren't taking your kid to a questionable Taylor Swift movie?
She said it was about superstitions, like knocking on wood. That's what Taylor Swift said. So
when she talked about knocking on wood in that song,
Yes. Yeah. It was about superstitions.
You let her keep thinking that as long as she can. That's all I can say.
It was a beautiful weekend camping. That's what we did. Emery even went in the water yesterday, October 4th.
Ooh.
It was warm. Yeah.
It was cold.
A little chilly side here. All right.
It was weird to look at the trees changing and hear the leaves rustling and feel the temperature in the sun. It was just so like not, it just didn't fit.
Although I guess for
I walked
one
around
day.
The campground.
Yeah.
I walked around the campground at night. It was so nice. It was just like a summer night and just walk and walk. I just walked and walked and walked because it was just so nice. And it was just, yeah, kind of weird, but it was beautiful to be outside the whole weekend camping.
We went after the retro arcade. We went to a food truck place. And it's kind of a permanent setup with these food trucks and tables, and they're not so much tables. They're the big spools, you know, for like laying cable or rope or whatever. And so many different ways to get heartburn. I mean, either from the taco truck or the quesadilla truck or the burrito truck.
Your view on life is so interesting.
It gets you heartburn.
Yeah.
It's not the truck.
I travel with plenty of Pepcid. I will be just fine. So
we should talk.
Yeah,
I know I'm going to talk. Listen to your wife, but I think you'll listen to me.
Look, I've got two gynecologists whose opinions I respect. Not a lot of men can say that. So no. We can worry about the heartburn later. What other advice were you giving on the Dr. Kristen Lyerly show, which is now statewide Saturdays at noon across the Civic Media Radio Network?
So much fun. And on YouTube, if you want to watch the video, which is the fun way to do it, because it's me and Dr. Laura Hanks of Laura Hanks at Your Cervix. We just gyno-talked. We talked about abnormal uterine bleeding and trans care and the abortion pause in Wisconsin. All the things that we usually talk about, but you get to be part of the conversation. It's rich.
Trust me, as the spouse of a gynecologist, I've listened to many of these conversations and while they may not necessarily apply to me, it might to somebody that you know and love and care about and might encourage them to go see a doctor on their own. So give a listen to the Dr. Kristen Lyerly show on the weekends there. And Selena's been working on various news stories, of course, for Up North News. And one of the most recent ones deals with cuts that are coming to various healthcare programs. And so we're going to play Selena's most recent story. And so I'm going to have her set it up, and then we're going to play the story itself that you can watch it, the video version, over at the Up North News social media sites. So, Selena, tell us all about who you talked to.
Well, so this is about the kind of the stalemate that's largely centered around what's going on in the a lot of money in enhanced and affordable care act subsidies. And so this is Kate Bausch, and she is a retired artist from La Crosse, and she and her husband, who is a retired teacher of 38 years, they kind of plan their retirement around the Affordable Care Act, and they're 2 years out of Medicare. So they have a couple years left. So this is kind of talking about how she's worried about things coming up and what she'll have to pay, what they'll have to pay coming up.
Yeah, because again, the Affordable Care Act was designed for this, where you're not quite old enough for Medicare, but you might not be working, or you might be working in a job that doesn't provide health insurance coverage. This is an affordable way to get it. So here's Selena Heller's report about that.
The uncertainty, I can't tell you. Unbearable it's been to not know if we're going to have health care next year or what it's going to cost.
In La Crosse, Kate Bausch and her husband are retired but 2 years shy of qualifying for Medicare, so using the Affordable Care Act marketplace for their health care is a must for them. It's not free.
We pay $476. I think some people think, like, if you're on the ACA that it's free, and it's not. I mean, we still pay, and we're happy to pay.
Their monthly premium is set to skyrocket, though, as Republicans in D.C. appear willing to let the tax credits that make ACA coverage more affordable expire. Kate says the uncertainty of what will happen with these subsidies is enough to put anyone on edge.
We started checking around because if the credits were going to expire, we needed to be covered, and we like to be prepared. So we were quoted upwards of $2,400 a month through a retirement for the state retirement workers. And we can't afford $2,400 a month. If these credits expire, I'm not sure what we will do.
Unless Republicans join Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin and her Democratic colleagues in supporting an extension, the tax credits will expire at the end of the year. And that means out-of-pocket premiums for ACA Marketplace enrollees could go up 75%, according to the research group Kaiser Family Foundation.
This tax break, called the Enhanced Premium Tax Credit, saves more than 230,000 Wisconsinites an average of $500 every single month.
We both have to be on medicine. It's not just doctor visits and that kind of thing. I have asthma, my husband does too. Our inhalers are $500 a month. We're just not sure what we'll do.
Senator Baldwin says if tax credits for the wealthy and corporations can be included in the budget, there's certainly legroom for extending tax credits for conscientious families.
We're looking at, obviously, no Christmas presents that we'll be shopping for this year or next year, probably. We're hoping to take some trips just around the state. We live pretty simply. I'm really sorry. I didn't expect to cry, but it's real.
And that's the bottom line, Selena. This is real. We talk about, you know, these cuts as if they're just some numbers in a budget, but these affect all kinds of folks, and understandably, they're getting downright emotional about what may lie ahead.
Yeah, and I was reading last night the comments on our social media pages with this story, and there are so many people in the same boat commenting like, that's me, that's me, that's me. And they're worried too. There's so many people, small business owners too, that are on the ACA, this similar situation. So it is real people. And that's why this illustrates that it's just, she's just a regular, simple person retired in La Crosse, and her husband are going to be struggling.
And Dr. Lyerly knows just as well, the patients who come in and either have delayed care because they don't have coverage, or, you know, have to get care. And that leads to, you know, bills that they can't pay and uncompensated care, Kristen.
I'm profoundly worried, because as we continue to march toward November 1st, when people are starting to see what their premiums and their healthcare costs are going to look like for next year, it's going to hit home, and it's going to be very real. I've made a number of videos on my social media account just talking about what to expect, and I don't think people realize what's around the corner. The pushback has been really ugly and very political, because that is how it's been positioned by the right wing, that this is just a political play. But the truth is, this is your healthcare. This is your health. This is your future. And if you can't get healthcare, you're not going to get care. You're going to end up in the emergency department. You're not going to be able to afford it. You could end up going bankrupt, and you could end up with a terrible health outcome that could affect the trajectory of your life.
And that's where, again, from that political standpoint, it certainly appears to some like conservatives are overplaying their hand, that, you know, the so-called fiscal conservatives saying, well, we've got to cut government. We've got to cut government spending. Yeah, but there's all kinds of folks who maybe have voted conservative and who maybe thought that until the cuts come home to them and they understand that they will not be able to afford health insurance. And then to really make things worse for people, they are beginning to understand this is not saving taxpayer money. This is simply moving money from our tax dollars, which had gone to credits that made health insurance more affordable, to tax cuts for billionaires. There's no actual savings going on here. It's literally just a transfer of our tax dollars from helping us to billionaires. And Kristen, that's where I feel that there are still plenty of people who either typically vote Republican or somewhere in the middle who are going to go, I am not good with this.
I think most of us just want to be able to get through the day, to afford food, to afford housing, to afford healthcare, to maybe take a vacation every once in a while. We're not fancy, but to hear somebody like Ron Johnson talk about the deficit, not wanting to pass the budget initially because there was too much of a deficit, but then capitulating to Donald Trump and actually passing a budget with a huge deficit because it's a giveaway to wealthy people and costing you your healthcare benefits, your ability to receive quality, affordable healthcare. And it will shut rural hospitals down. We know this. So it's going to have a huge impact on us, on the people of Wisconsin. And I think as we start to see more people realizing this, more people are going to want to come to the table and have these conversations. And we're here for it.
And it's not just the Affordable Care Act. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we're going to be talking to somebody who knows all about the cuts that are coming to the Wisconsin Deafblind Technical Assistance Program. Yes, this is cuts that are coming to the only program that helps with adaptive technology for deafblind children. Who cuts things like that for deafblind children? Oh, that's right. It's President Trump and the Republican Congress. That's coming up. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Is violent crime in the U.S. higher than 25 years ago? No. Violent crime is lower nationally and in major cities than 25 years ago, according to FBI and Justice Department data. In 2023, cities with 250,000 or more people reported 771 violent crimes per 100,000 residents, down from 1,093 in 2000. Nationally, violent crime has stayed below 400 incidents per 100,000 residents for a decade, compared to about 500 in the late 1990s. Pew Research reported a 49% drop in violent crime, which includes murder, rape, robbery, and aggravated assault, since 1993. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Powered by friendship, fun, and manager Murph's Pocket Pancakes, the Milwaukee Brewers have a new franchise regular season record of 97 wins. Congratulations!
Unreal.
Now it's on to the postseason.
The summer of Sal, maybe the fall of Freeland.
Catch all the action on your station for the Brewers in October. 107.7 FM, 1450 AM, WRCE.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
As Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Henricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
Sarah Hunt, director, on with us in the first half. Andrew Sharp, Gene Burkett, Sharon Zales are here to tell you why you should go see the show. Andrew, certainly as producer, you wear many hats here. You kind of oversee a lot of things. But are there some challenges to put on this show, or how do you look at it?
Well, this show... horrible timing. I maybe shouldn't say that on the radio, but it's been horrible timing. We just got done with Little Shop of Horrors, and then we wanted to do a fall show, and so we were going to do this show, and it landed where it landed. Well, now, way back, we decided that we were going to do the show, and then after that, our CPAC says, hey, we've got these seats that we can get. We're going to put these seats in. So while the rehearsal is going on, the Performing Arts Council people are putting in the new floor, the new seats. I mean, when Sarah shows up to do the auditions, there are no chairs in the entire auditorium. They've all been ripped out. So it has been a challenging show because of it's just kind of been bad timing for everybody. Sarah didn't mention this, but she got a new job while this is going on. And so we have been struggling with all these kind of behind-the-scenes problems that you don't always have.
Can only make you better, though.
Well, yeah, it certainly is going to result in things that are better. I mean, the better seats, the brighter auditorium, things like that. We've gotten some more lights recently. I've got Kevin Riley is doing our lighting, and we've gotten some light fixtures, and so we're going to have more lights to put up there. But yeah, there have been challenges, but they are things rather than people. So, or issues with the play itself.
Have you been around Pride and Prejudice productions before?
No, this is the first Pride and Prejudice production that I was, I'm afraid, too young for Gene's production back in 1973 when I was
the pity.
Yeah, 13 years old. But generally aware of Pride and Prejudice, and I guess I had, when we started out, I wasn't sure whether I'd read it in college or not. But now that I see the story, I go, no, that was not one they had me read. So,
lots of adaptations, as you mentioned earlier, and lots of movies kind of loosely based on the storyline as well. Right.
Yeah, it's a very attractive storyline, so I see why people would want to take it. A very earnest and engaging woman, but she's poor, and a rich and kind of snooty guy. And the two of them, the path to true love never runs easily, and so they've got lots of obstacles to overcome.
Could you go over the dates and the times for the production?
Yeah, the show is going to be October 10th and 11th. That's Friday and Saturday. That's at 7 o'clock at the Richland Center City Auditorium. Sunday, October 12th at 2 o'clock. And then the next weekend...
17th, 18th.
And so the 17th and 18th, Friday and Saturday, 7 o'clock again, and October 19th at 2 on the Sunday. Tickets are $15 for adults and $10 for those 18 and under 18. So, and the tickets are only available at the door.
Mm-hmm. That'll work out well.
Are Sharon. We doing the family package too?
No.
Okay, sorry.
Sharon, what about the costuming?
Oh, Jen Seide is our costumer, and she's done many productions. If you ever see Jen at the thrift shop, she makes all her own clothes out of curtains and shower curtains, and they're fabulous. I keep telling her closet must be so interesting. But she is costuming this, and she's been trying to put everyone in an appropriate outfit for the part. And it's been somewhat of a challenge. They're looking for just a certain couple of items now for the soldiers, but I think she's doing an amazing job. I've seen the costumes. We will be wearing the costumes. Oh, and can I just do a side note? I was kidding about only coming the second weekend. Come both weekends. Anyway. So we will be sharing the same costume as we share the part. But the other costumes that she's put together, I think, are really, really amazing. So she's doing a wonderful job. And I would like personally, as house manager, to recognize that we have a house staff. We will sell tickets at the door. And as he said, they're $15. And we have people, Gene has graciously volunteered to help hand out programs or take tickets. The weekend, I'm not Lady Catherine.
Sure.
And the second weekend, I hope to be able to sell tickets, because I won't be Lady Catherine that weekend. So it's going to work out. It's just when you work in the auditorium, it'll be the one station that's open to sell tickets, but you can buy tickets as soon as you walk in the door. You just have to wait for the doors to open, which generally happens half an hour to 45 minutes before show. It depends on what's going on.
You might want to mention two sets of doors.
Well, we'll talk about it. And you mentioned the elevator. This is a good one to bring up.
Mm-hmm.
For those of who are challenged, there is an elevator in the building that will take you from the entry on the side by the parking lot. This is where the elevator is, and you go up to the second floor.
And it goes also to third floor.
Yes, but third floor where the bathrooms balcony. Are. That's important to know.
I don't know if we're opening the balcony or not.
No, the balcony has got to have its seats replaced and stuff like that. And so there's actually no seats in the balcony.
Oh, is that right?
Point. Yeah. So.
So, but you could. That's where the bathrooms are. You can go up the third floor and use the bathrooms. Right. So.
And I was on the auditorium committee, you know, a lot of times. I don't know what, but anyway. It has two pretty bad bathrooms kind of down near the stage, but it has an absolutely wonderful, clean, efficient bathroom upstairs.
You've been listening to WRCE's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo Henricks.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for the Midwest Farm Report with me, Pam Yonke. You know, the weather has treated Wisconsin farmers pretty well for the harvest of 2025, but that's not the case everywhere. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Monday morning, taking a look at the news influencing your markets. Our neighbors to the north, for example, in Canada, facing some very dry conditions across most of their agriculture regions. That includes Prince Edward Island. Now, if you're challenged to find a map, Prince Edward Island is the area of Canada directly east of Maine. That's where Ryan Bennett is farming, and he says it has been incredibly dry and incredibly hot all growing season there.
You just kept thinking, well, it's going to rain sometime, and then it just never did. The majority of the island has been really dry for the entire summer, and for most stuff, it's too late. We're going to see significant yield reductions on potatoes. Most of our grain corn, I imagine it'll be down 20-25%. Probably won't be harvesting it for another 2 or 3 weeks anyway. Soybean yields, half a ton to the acre on soybeans, when they usually would get a ton and a quarter, you know. So there's going to be some hearth around on crops this year.
Ryan Bennett, he is a farmer on Prince Edward Island, Canada, trying to struggle with the hottest, driest growing season on record. Markets in overnight electronic trade. Not much happening on the international market, and that's why markets are lower. Numbers are next.
As the weather changes, it can start to impact feed quality. Don't let your cows become the victims of the ration roller coaster. Adding Generator Elite to your herd's ration can introduce beneficial microbials that support gut health and help the herd navigate the highs and lows of feed quality, all while using less than an ounce per day per cow. Learn more about Generator Elite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, innovation, that's BioVet.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
On Friday in Chicago, the barrel cheese gained a nickel to 177. 40-pound block cheese was up a penny and a half, 179, while AA butter stood still, $1.75 a pound. This morning, the November Class 3 milk that goes into cheese up 7 cents at 1701, while December's unchanged, 1714 a hundredweight. Currently, December new crop corn's down a half at 418. November new crop soybeans down a penny at 1017. The December wheat's down 2.5 at 513. July new crop down 2.5, 554 bushel. That's just a quick snapshot of where the numbers stand rolling into a Monday trade session. More at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Pam Yonke. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home of the Midwest Farm Report.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Mostly cloudy and much cooler today with scattered showers from time to time, maybe a rumble of thunder as well, a high of only 63. A lingering shower possible this evening, otherwise mostly cloudy and crisp with a low of 43. Sunny and pleasant on Tuesday, a high of 65. It's 58 at our studios.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman Program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local civic media radio station.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, book bans have not gone away, but we tend to forget about it. We're going to talk about book bans and what that means for our children. Please join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Welcome back. Brewers-Cubs tonight. First pitch after 8 p.m. The pregame begins at 7:35 on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Park Falls, and Hayward. Be sure to tune in. You can also sign up for Civic Media's new daily newsletter. It's on Substack. Sign up at civicmediatoday.substack.com. And then, of course, here at Up North News, we have a Sunday morning newsletter with an emphasis on politics, including our question of the week. Sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. I basically am asking people this week to be part of our first way too early poll for governor for next year, and asking people, you know, who do they support at this point, knowing full well that there's lots of time before the August primary of next year. But we're already getting quite a range of answers. We've got people, let's see, Stephen here says Missy Hughes is my choice. Jack from Merrimack says my personal preference for governor would be Mandela Barnes. Richard says I would vote for Josh Call because he has a track record of fighting for rights and standing up to the White House. Sue H. says Ben Wickler. Lisa says my pick for governor would be Ryan Starnett, not a politician or a white-collar businessman. I think he's got some honest dirt under those fingernails. Let's see, from Herb, my way too early pick would be Kelda Royce. Mark says Sarah Rodriguez is my first choice. Len says State Representative Francesca Hong, and on it goes. And so, again, sign up for our newsletter and be among the first to answer our question of the week. All right, our guest for this segment is telling us about, again, some of the types of cuts that are happening. We've talked about on this show before, but again, they just don't feel real. And so we want to talk again about who and why would you be making cuts to programs that help the deafblind community, including deafblind children. Adrian Klenz is the executive director of a group that works with deafblind adults, but can tell us more about the Deafblind Technical Assistance Program for Kids. Adrian is the executive director of the Center for Deafblind Persons and joins us now. Adrian, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. Great. Thanks for the opportunity. Good to be here.
Yeah, well, it's nice to have you here as well. So let me again straighten out the differences between the two groups. We're going to talk about cuts to the Wisconsin Deafblind Technical Assistance Program. Can you talk just a bit about more about what that is and then how that ties into the work you do at the Center for Deafblind Persons?
Sure, absolutely. So as you mentioned, Wisconsin Deafblind Technical Assistance Program, which, to shorten it up and make it easier, WDBTAP, is a program that has served deafblind children in the state of Wisconsin since the 1960s. And they help deafblind children and their families basically from birth up to the age of 21. And then once they're 21, that's where the Center for Deafblind Persons can come into play. If they so choose as adults to continue services, then they would come to us. And we have, as you can imagine, a close working relationship with WDBTAP, because as these kids get older and start nearing adulthood and they start learning about us and our services, sometimes they're referred over to us and then we start that process of working with them. So it's been a very close working relationship through the years. And as you can imagine, we were quite shocked when we got this news back in kind of late August that this might be happening. And unfortunately, that nightmare continues. As I speak to you today, I literally don't know the status of the program. I've tried to reach out a few times last week and haven't heard back. I know that an appeal was filed, and I have not heard news about what happened with that. So as of right now, we're in a holding pattern as far as what happens for these young folks and their families throughout the state.
And we first heard about this in the context of cuts like this were done, in this case, for WDBTAP, the Wisconsin Deafblind Technical Assistance Program for Deafblind Children, where those cuts came through the Trump administration that was going after, again, so-called DEI programs. Anything that singled out a group for special treatment, they said, needed to be cut, and that then those cuts, you know, those programs would be rolled into something else instead that didn't single out a group for special treatment. This is, okay, this is just wild, but I guess I'll ask it this way, Adrian. Is there a group that deafblind children could be folded into rather than the one that's benefiting them right now?
No. And this is what's frustrating is it's easy to throw around words and say things like that. Like, you know, I saw the statement that said, well, they'll just be absorbed into other programs. There is no other program. And that's the stark reality. And I think people need to understand that. The Wisconsin Deafblind Technical Assistance Program literally is, I believe, 7 staff that were serving 170 families throughout the state of Wisconsin, and they were it. That's the ballgame. Those 7 individuals have the specialized training to help those with dual sensory loss. And let's be clear, that's a unique challenge. It's one thing. I was born with a visual impairment, so I'm 51 years old and I've lived life with a visual impairment. Add to that, now suddenly your hearing is impacted. So both vision and hearing are gone. You need specialized training to help those folks, right? And so there's no one else in the state of Wisconsin that has that training. Just like at the Center for Deafblind Persons, we are the individuals that can work with deafblind adults. So this notion that, they'll just be absorbed in another program. Well, there is no other program. And that's where, you know, people are left adrift. And it's terrifying, quite frankly.
We're talking to Adrian Clancy, the executive director of the Center for Deafblind Persons, and the technical assistance part of the technical assistance program. Can you talk a bit about that, the adaptive technologies and things that help deafblind children to be able to go to school, get an education, mm-hmm. and get through life?
Absolutely. And you hit the nail on the head there. So you talked about like assistive technology, like this thing here, the phone, we all take for granted. But imagine, again, vision impacted, hearing impacted. And so technology is a wonderful tool, and it continues to develop. And so there are all kinds of resources out there to help deafblind children, deafblind adults be able to interact in day-to-day life, whether it be going to school, your job, just keeping in touch with friends and family. So WDBTAP, along with the Center for Deafblind Persons, we had a collaborative relationship through a program called I Can Connect, which is also a federal program through the FCC. Each state has a program. And in Wisconsin, the Center for Deafblind Persons runs that program. And we worked very closely with WDBTAP. And there were funds that helped deafblind children and their families gain access to this assistive technology, and then training them how to use it, and then offering continued support as issues come up, things break. Sometimes updates come through. You need to learn how to use the technology. And that's what they were able to do. And we also helped them do that. And that's just one little piece of what WDBTAP did. But keep in mind, this isn't also just helping the children and their families. This is helping the educators as well. Because as I said, very few people have this specialized training. So the WDBTAP staff could also work with teachers and teachers' aides and help them to work with these children in the schools. And again, now that's gone. And so then who helps these folks?
So we've got these basically technological marvels, even miracles. I don't mm-hmm. think it would be underselling it. And the ability to do things that, you know, the generations prior could scarcely dream of. And unfortunately, in the generations prior, children who were, you know, deaf, blind, or both, and or had other issues, quite often were institutionalized. And we've heard that word a lot lately about other cuts that are coming to Medicaid, to Badger Care, that help with other vulnerable groups. What is the concern for you if deafblind children in Wisconsin suddenly no longer have access to the adaptive technology, to the educators, to everybody else, you know, in terms of their own quality of life?
That's a great question. And I mean, if you think about it, I mean, imagine you're on an island and there's no one to help you. And then suddenly you're rescued and then you're put back into society and you don't have any knowledge about what is going on. Like, you're going to be lost. So think of these young children as they're aging from birth up until 21 and they don't have those services. And then suddenly they're adults and it's like, okay, here you go, figure it out. And that's what we're afraid of, because right now, you know, previous to these cuts, you know, WDBTAP was there since the 1960s, helping nurture these young people. And as they got older, if they still needed services, they could come to the center. If that's not there, imagine what kind of shape people are going to be in as they get older and they try to find employment. They want to continue their education. I mean, there's just no support there. So we're very worried about what happens when people come to us, you know, how far behind they're going to be. And we have our own funding challenges. So then, you know, trying to navigate that as well. So it really is very concerning. And I want to make clear, it's very important that people take the time to research and get facts, because I've seen so many, you know, false things stated on social media. Now, recently I was, you know, looking around online and trying to find answers, like, where are things at? And people were posting about, oh, there's, you know, these people, these staff are making so much money and they're only helping three kids. I mean, the average salary, these people, you know, we're talking 40, 50 grand, you know, but they're saying, oh, they're making $150,000 a year and they're only serving three children. No, all these things are not true. And it's important that people have the facts here. You know, the folks that were serving deafblind children, they were not making a lot of money. They're doing this because of the love and passion that they have, and they want to help people. And it just breaks my heart to see the level of misinformation. And again, back to the top, what you were saying, this false notion that, well, they'll just be absorbed elsewhere. No, they fall through the cracks. They're left without services. And the detriment there is just staggering to think about.
Adrian Tony puts a comment up on YouTube. What is the positive vision for this problem? What should be happening? What could be happening? What is, apart from not making the current cuts, what else could be done to keep and improve the current program for deafblind children?
Well, that's a great question. And first of all, I hope that people will make their voice heard and let, you know, legislators know, let the federal government know that these types of cuts are far reaching. And again, I think it's important to recognize we're talking about, for WDBTAP, their budget was $180,000. So this notion that we're talking of millions of dollars is just untrue. And so letting your voice be heard is one thing, so that our elected officials know that, you know, this is not going to be tolerated. I've seen people say, well, why don't you just get donations? Absolutely. I mean, as an executive director for a nonprofit, I've done this for 10 years with two different organizations. Fundraising is huge, and we need support in that realm as well. And we also need to make sure that people have all the facts. As I said, there's so much misinformation going out there. And when you have facts, then people aren't able to, you know, spread rumors. I mean, so we need to get the facts out there that this is a program that helps up to 170 families. This wasn't a huge program, millions of dollars. You know, there's a small staff that we're helping people all over the state. I think those are important things. I mean, I hope people will contribute to nonprofit organizations like the Center for Deafblind Persons or, you know, programs like WDBTAP. It'd be great to be able to move away from the reliance on those dollars. But the reality is there are limited dollars. And so we need that help and support. So if people can donate, if people can make their voice heard, I think that will certainly help. And just making sure that the facts are out there so that there aren't misconceptions that can really be harmful.
Adrian Klentz is the executive director for the Center for Deafblind Persons and talking to us about looming cuts for the Wisconsin Deafblind Technical Assistance Program. Adrian, thank you so very much for all thank of this background. It was great to visit with you and wish you all the best going forward.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the opportunity.
You bet, Adrian. Thank you very much. We have more coming up in our next hour talking about these looming cuts to healthcare, to Medicaid, and more. We will be talking to Megan Rowe from Opportunity Wisconsin. That's after the 8 o'clock news. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Hey, Doc, nice office. Quick question. If you had to choose, would you give yourself a root canal or run payroll?
Run payroll, no question.
Seriously? Have you run payroll before?
Paying my team with Gusto couldn't be easier. Gusto gives me unlimited payroll runs, next day direct deposits, and automatically files my taxes. Saves me time.
Wow, that's nice.
Over here, Doc. Can I run payroll too?
Choose payroll without the pain. Visit gusto.com/radio to sign up for free.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away, so come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
My name's John Driscoll, proud member of the Patriotic Millionaires. When I was CEO at CareCentrix, I doubled entry-level wages. The impact? Productivity went up, turnover went down, and the company was successful. When employees are off the clock, they're real consumers, the consumers that drive the economy with their spending. By paying employees a fair wage, we're actually helping out all of us in giving our economy the best chance to succeed. I'm John Driscoll, I'm a Patriotic Millionaire, and I approve this message.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Actor, writer, and my son, Joe Schwabba. Do you have a favorite one-hit wonder song, Joe?
I don't know. That's not great radio.
30
I'm
seconds.
Right
what,
now.
What about What Does the Fox Say? We grew up kind of in the same era, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what is the Fox Say? Or Gundam Style?
Oh, those are terrible
That's
songs.
Another one? Oh, whatever.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Joanne Krulotz, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning. Residents, families, staff, and community partners of Pine Valley Community Village are being notified that routine water testing at Pine Valley has detected the presence of E. coli bacteria in the water supply. The health and safety of residents and staff are of top priority. As soon as the test results were received, officials took immediate precautionary measures, including notifying the local health department, the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, and the Department of Natural Resources, implementing water safety protocols, including the use of bottled water for drinking and food preparation, bathing, and other needs at this time. Contracts with Safe Water will continue to supply to ensure the safety of everyone. Providing clear guidance to staff and residents to ensure compliance with safety measures and arranging for remediation and follow-up testing in accordance with regulatory guidelines. Handouts have been given to each resident and POAs have been notified as well. At this time, no illnesses related to this finding have been reported at Pine Valley Community Village. All residents will continue to be monitored closely, and families will be kept updated. Officials with Pine Valley are working closely with local and state health authorities to ensure the safety of the water supply and will provide further updates as soon as test results confirm the water is safe for normal use. The DNR will be out within 30 days to complete a level 2 assessment to locate any further issues within the water system and help create a plan that ensures the quality of water is restored and maintained. If you have questions or concerns, contact Brittany Paulus, LNHA, at 608-647-2138. That's 647-2138. The Iowa County Sheriff's Office reports that Gavin Thompson has been transported from Nebraska and is in custody at the Iowa County Jail. Thompson was apprehended following an endangered missing person investigation in Dodgeville. The Dodgeville Police Department responded to a welfare check in the city of Dodgeville on July 15th for Dorinda Sedgebreck. Her vehicle was not located at the scene and a public notification was issued. Investigators discovered that the vehicle was possibly in the state of Nebraska, and information was relayed to the Nebraska State Patrol. On July 16th, the Nebraska State Trooper spotted the vehicle on I-80 in Lincoln. The trooper attempted a traffic stop, which resulted in a vehicle pursuit ending when the vehicle crashed and the driver, identified as Gavin Thompson, 23 of Dodgeville, fled on foot and was subsequently arrested and transported to the Lancaster County Jail in Nebraska. The body of Dorinda Sedgebreck, 67 of Dodgeville, was located in the vehicle. Gavin Thompson faces 4 felony charges of first-degree intentional homicide, burglary armed with a dangerous weapon, taking and driving a vehicle without consent, and hiding a corpse. The Richland County Executive and Finance Standing Committee approved to move forward with a public hearing on the proposed 2026 county budget at the County Board of Supervisors meeting on Monday, October 20th. The 2026 budget includes revenues from the county sales tax in the estimated amount of $1.6 million and that the sum of $10,820,031 would be levied upon all taxable property in Richland County for county purposes. Interim Ambulance Director Barb Scott submitted a report to the committee that the current staffing in the ambulance department has reached a critical point, compromising both safety and the ability to maintain services. They are actively advertising and interviewing, but are struggling to recruit qualified candidates. They are competing with other services who are offering large bonuses and compensation packages. Scott suggested an educational offering to staff in exchange for an 18-month commitment. The department has added verbiage for 24 hours per month call coverage, commitment, and also verbiage regarding passing the registry exam. The Executive and Finance Committee approved sending the request to the full Board of Supervisors for action. A Dane County dog breeder has rejected a $55,000 fine from the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Ridgeland Farms, which breeds beagle puppies for scientific research, was fined by DATCAP for alleged animal welfare violations related to surgeries performed on beagles. Most of the violations involve a procedure known as cherry eye surgery, which removes a third eye gland. Ridgeland Farms says it did not allow unlicensed employees to perform the surgeries, or if they did, regulations allowed it. According to state law, DATCAP can't enforce crimes against animals that would be up to local law enforcement. SSM Health St. Clair Hospital Baraboo leaders recognized 2 exceptional caregivers for their outstanding contributions to patient care and the community. Holly McMillan, RN, was honored with the Daisy Award. She is a cornerstone of the emergency department, known for her calm demeanor, quick thinking, and unwavering commitment to her patients. Whether caring for a sick child, managing a trauma case, or supporting a colleague, Holly consistently delivers high-quality, compassionate care. Soroya Frosch received the B Award. She is the welcoming face of the Radiation Oncology Department, and her impact on patients is profound. Known for her warm smile and genuine kindness, Soroya goes out of her way to connect with every patient, offering comfort and support during challenging times. Members of the public are invited to nominate outstanding SSM Health caregivers. The Daisy Award is an international program that rewards and celebrates the extraordinary clinical skill and compassionate care delivered by nurses. The B Award is special recognition for staff members who demonstrate great teamwork and communication skills, compassion, collaboration, professionalism, exemplary service, and a commitment to excellence. Nomination forms for both awards are available on ssmhealth.com. Laura Benjamin has suspended her campaign for Congress in Wisconsin's 3rd District, citing the significant resources required to run a competitive race while celebrating the progress her campaign has made in shaping the political conversation across the district. Benjamin said, quote, "From the very beginning, this campaign has been about everyday working people and moving toward bold, progressive solutions. I'm proud that we've inspired new conversations among Democrats in the Wisconsin 3rd about the fight for economic and social justice," end quote. You've been listening to WRCE's local news on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google Play stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A federal judge has blocked the Trump administration from sending any state's National Guard troops to Oregon. The judge saying last night it appears the Trump administration was deliberately trying to circumvent her previous ruling, blocking the Oregon Guard from being deployed. Talks beginning in Egypt today on trying to end the Israel-Hamas war. Talks not beginning in Washington today on trying to end the government shutdown.
The Senate today will try to force another vote on a Republican proposal that does not include any of the Democratic demands, which are to reverse Medicaid cuts and also to extend those expiring Obamacare subsidies so health insurance premiums don't go up for millions of Americans. But at this point, these two sides are still at odds. They are only digging in, and there's no end in sight to this government shutdown.
ABC's Rachel Scott. The Supreme Court opening up its session today with some major rulings expected this term on the expanse of presidential power. Nobel Prize in Medicine handed out today. Nobel Peace Prize